Welcome back, Michael Warren Thomas. Here it's the Grapevine on WYSL 1040, 92.1 FM, and a lovely Sunday. It was kind of nice yesterday, full sun and 55 degrees, which I think is actually the normal temperature, somewhere in that range, and a little cooler today, a bit of rain, and again, it's tomorrow. Next couple days, maybe some sun, more rain. It's April. April showers bring May flowers, and there's a lot that's going to be blooming. I guess the advantage of the rain is you can take an umbrella and there'll be fewer people out in the parks, and Highland Park is still beautiful in the rain. Lots of cherries blooming now. The magnolias have started, the star magnolias, the white ones, and pretty soon red buds and shad trees will start blooming. It is full-on spring. We have a special guest with us from Zugaby Vineyards, Brendan Zugaby, one of the three brothers that run Zugaby Vineyards. Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning. Michael Warren Thomas, how are you?
That's right. My three first names, you guys, three brothers that run Zugaby Vineyards. And give us some background on the winery, when you opened and where you are.
Sure. We started our plantings in 2005. So, you know, nowadays we're seeing, you know, these deep-rooted vines, like, really starting to produce more flavors, and we're starting to see, like, the depth of these vines. But we didn't open until 2009. You know, as you know, things take time to really grow, to be able to start harvesting the grapes off of those vines. And yeah, it's the three of us. I'm more on the, marketing, wholesale, that side of things, where I have an older brother, Fred, who he studied enology at Brock University in Ontario, Canada. And our younger brother, Sean, studied viticulture in Santa Rosa, California. So we all kind of have our little piece of, you know, what we kind of manage and, you know, work together as much as brothers can do. And,
So why did you choose that area of Seneca Lake? It's you're sort of the northeast corner of Seneca Lake, Geneva address, but again, the other side of the north end of Seneca Lake.
Oh, we wanted to start bringing people out to the other side. We, back in 2003, 2004, this was a long-term, kind of planning that we did on this, but there was a lot of soil analysis done at probably about three or four different sites that we were considering further down the lake, the other side of the lake, and we just really liked what, that side had to offer. And there's, we planted 40 acres worth of vines, and we have, another 50 acres that we can eventually plant on. Not that that's any, upcoming projects that we're going to be looking at, but, it's just beautiful. And, we have the afternoon sun, which, we really like that afternoon sun on the vines.
Some great sunsets, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's beautiful.
So what kinds of grapes are in the ground at Zugaby?
Our dad told us never to plant a hybrid variety, so we grow only vinifera. We have 11 different varieties. We have 6 whites, 5 reds. The reds, Cab Franc, Cab Sauv, Merlot, Lemberger, Pinot Noir. The whites, we do, Chardonnay and Riesling, Gewürztraminer, Pinot Gris. We're one of the few that grow Sauvignon Blanc. We were the first to plant Grüner Veltliner, an Austrian variety.
I think that's
pretty much the 11.
They're growing in popularity. Both of those grapes are delicious dry white wines and kind of fit the cool climate here really well, too.
Yeah, and, a lot of people, think about Sauvignon Blanc as being, a warm climate variety, but each year it's the first white that we harvest. Chardonnay, is pretty much finished, accumulating all their sugars pretty early too, but Sauvignon Blanc typically is the first white variety that we pick, the first variety that we pick. There's a short growing season, but the thing about it is it's a little bit more tender of a variety during the wintertime. So we decided to plant that as close to the lake as we could to give it, you know, just every advantage of, you know, the warming that the lake provides during the wintertime.
And there was a couple years ago, I think, it was Geneva reached minus 18. You know, that's not normal. That's super cold. But that's the kind of cold that would just wipe out a Sauvignon Blanc if it wasn't down near the lake.
And it has. Like, we, you know, there were 2 years that, you know, it became cold enough that it damaged the vine to where we were left with, you know, pulling new growth from way down low. And so that following year, you know, so I think 2014 was the worst year. And I think it was right around Valentine's Day. It was like mid-February.
Yep. It was a fairly mild winter, and it was just that one night right before Valentine's Day. It was just, you know, a few hours, really, out of the whole winter.
Yeah, and actually that year, I think we pretty much only harvested Pinot Noir that year, which is kind of odd, but Sauvignon Blanc, like, two different years, we were left with no production that growing season, you know, just bringing up material, letting the vine grow and that kind of thing, but not enjoying, you know, the fruit of, you know, the production.
It just means that the grapes were more expensive when you finally got them, and you can't exactly triple the cost of the wine.
No, you can't do that. No, we price, you know, we try to keep things at a value, I guess, or, you know, an affordable price wine. I mean, you know, we're premium, sure, but, you know, we try to keep things relatively, you know, approachable.
Yeah. Well, you have a great bargain right now on your website. We were just talking with Vinny and Kim Alapurdy about it in the previous hour. The FLX collaboration case, 12 dry rosés from 12 different wineries. And how did this idea come about? It's only your Zugby Vineyards is the one that's shipping it or doing the pickup. But how did the idea come about?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you, because you were, you know, one of the first to order one. So I really appreciate that.
Excellent.
You know, it's one of those things where, you know, we know that everybody who's locked down in their homes, you know, love to come out and experience the Finger Lakes. And by doing that, you don't just go and visit one winery. You know, you go and hit a couple wineries, stop at a creamery, you know, stop and eat at a farm-to-table restaurant locally and just experience the whole thing. So this just kind of gives people an opportunity to, you know, purchase a range of, you know, wineries' expression of this rosé. So, you know, we reached out to a bunch of wineries and, you know, told them what we wanted to offer. You know, I think it's, you know, just a fun thing for, you know, somebody to be able to pick up or to, you know, have delivered to their home or whatever. But just to show, like, these new rosés that everybody's just now putting out. You know, it's a brand new, you know, release of these things that some of them haven't even hit the stores yet, you know.
One of the things I really loved and look forward to each spring was the Discover Dry Rosé, where it was more of an industry tasting, but there'd be, you know, 30 wineries and probably 60 dry rosés, because quite a few wineries make more than one dry rosé now. And I just loved all the colors, because some were pretty bright pink and some were very subtle pink and some were more straw pink and some had almost no color at all. But you seldom get to see them all together, because in a store, you know, there's one here, one there. When you visit a winery, there's only one or two that you could taste. course, tasting rooms aren't open now. But the advantage, what I'm looking forward to with this case is I want to, I said the last hour, put all 12 bottles out in the sun for a few minutes and take some photos of the rainbow of colors. It's, they're going to be 12, probably all different in the color of the dry rosé.
That's right, yeah. I mean, full range. You know, you see, you know, in the Finger Lakes, typically you'll see Pinot Noir used to make rosés, and you'll see Cab Franc used to make rosés. And if you have two different producers, you know, using the same variety, they have different techniques to, you know, extract color, extract flavors. So even between two of the same variety, you'll see a range of colors. But this one, the case, I mean, there's a Lemberger rosé, there's a Sangiovese rosé, there's a few Pinot Noir ones, a few Cab Franc ones. There's some that are a blend of the Cab Franc and the Pinot Noir. So, yeah, you're right. You see a full range. I mean, there's going to be so many, you know, variations on flavors, on colors. I'm as excited as you are. I can't wait. You know, I'm going to be picking up these, and some of them are being delivered tomorrow. So I think tomorrow we'll have all of the, you know, the collaboration wines together so that we can, you know, get our first picture of, you know, the rainbow of paints. So I'm really excited about it.
And I think a lot of people, most people maybe, they're guided by their eyes and they see this light colored wine, and you in a sense, maybe you don't know what to expect taste wise because it's such a light color, and that makes your brain think light flavor, and yet these are made with red grapes that have a ton of flavor, and when you have these tastings going on in the tasting room, you get to see people's reactions as they're trying the dry rosé and realizing that it's got a ton of flavor. This is really a fantastic wine. Maybe surprises them a little bit, but these are red grapes that are pressed, and you don't leave them on the skins, right? That's what normally would give them the red color.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. We, you know, process it the same way as we would a white wine, except there's some kind of interaction between the skins and the juice. So, you know, what we do, we like to crush the grapes and cold soak them, put them in a cold environment. It extracts some of the, you know, color, the pigmentation, extracts some of the, you know, flavor components from the skin. And that's kind of where the variations, you know, come in from winery to winery. Is it 4 hours that you're cold soaking? Is it 1 hour? Is it overnight? You know, and that will ultimately determine, you know, just how big of the wine, big of an expression the wine has given you, and, you know, how deep of a color, you know, that it's given you in the end.
Well, you're doing a $10 flat rate shipping on this FLX collaboration case, but that $10 flat rate's also good for your other wines. So people can order your reds, your white wines, kind of a full range of your wines, and get that same $10 flat rate shipping.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Anything that, you know, somebody orders. I mean, if they get two cases, it's $10. And, you know, with, you know, some of the new, you know, permissions kind of that the state's given us, we're also allowed to deliver wine. So a lot of times people have ordered in the same day that, you know, they order, it will deliver to their doorstep. And if, you know, if somebody gets a case of wine, then it's, you know, it's a free delivery. So same thing with, you know, this collaboration case, we're offering that as well. So that makes it fun. I mean, we're trying to, you know, bring the Finger Lakes experience to people's doorsteps. We're trying to make, you know, more interactive things, you know, to just keep people entertained and you know, make this a little bit more, you know, palatable of an experience to kind of do, you know, like the girls in the taste room that people are familiar with seeing, Sarah and Ashley, you know, weekly they do a video broadcast, Wines of the Week, wow, and they introduce one, you know, new wine, and they talk about, you know, the production. They talk about, you know, tasting characteristics in the wine. And then they take it a step further and they pair it with a local restaurant who's doing delivery, you know, during these times to kind of give people, you know, a little bit on how the wine works with that food and, you know, hopefully to give a little business to the restaurant as well. We did one, we featured a red blend that we do at Fiamma Centro in Rochester, one of our partners, and they broadcast right from there. But, yeah, you should check out these videos. Like, if you go to our website or Instagram, they're really entertaining, to say the least.
Excellent. And, you know, the idea of incorporating restaurants into it, good reminder, restaurants can sell bottles of wine during the shutdown. That's not something they would normally be able to do with takeout, but they can do that. And again, you look for some of these local wines that the restaurants are carrying. And your delivery, I think people might expect, well, yeah, they'll probably deliver within Geneva, but you actually deliver over quite a distance, and that's a indication of just how dedicated you are to get the wines out there and, you know, and work hard to do it, hustle to do it.
That's right. Yeah, we have it's a 60-mile radius. It encompasses all of Rochester, all of Syracuse, and then, you know, going down to, you know, beyond Ithaca. So, yeah, no, it's just one of those things that we just want to, you know, share our passion. I mean, like, we do this because we love it, you know. And, you know, these expressions of the wines are, you know, it's art. It's coming from my brother. You know, he puts all of his soul into it, and we just want to get it into people's doorstep.
You also are doing some cans. People can order those or pick them up. What's available by the can?
Yeah, the cans took off right away. You know, it began as a problem. We had way too much Riesling one year, and, you know, there are some markets where we can sell, you know, a bulk amount of wine to another winery who's, you know, needing it for something else. And we just had this excessive amount of Riesling, and, you know, we investigated and we did our research, you know, bought a bunch of cans from stores and, you know, found what we liked and didn't like from them. And one of the things that we liked was like the bubbly, the effervescent wines that made the most sense. Like a flat wine didn't really, you know, a Chardonnay in a can didn't really make a lot of sense to us. It felt like drinking a flat soda almost. So, you know, that first year we did a forced carbonation into a Riesling that was just barely off dry, a little bit of fruit to it. And we filled them into cans, and the cans are 250 milliliter cans. So it's, you know, it's an 8-ounce can. It's a perfect size can. There's bigger ones. You know, there's cans out there that are a half a bottle in a can, but it felt like too much. And there's smaller cans that didn't quite feel like a full glass of wine. So these ones, you know, just really made sense. So first year we did, you know, the bubbly Riesling, and then we added two other ones. We added a bubbly rosé, which is on the drier side. And in fact, we're going to be canning our next batch in 2 or 3 weeks. And then we also did a bubbly Gewürztraminer that leans a little bit sweeter, just so we could have a full range of those wines. And then later on, you know, we're known pretty well for our dry reds. So we wanted to do something with that, and we ended up doing a dry red in a can that's not bubbly. We went against our initial thoughts and everything with it, but it's, to me, it's one of our best reds like that we've ever made. And my brother would kill me for saying that, but it's just so enjoyable, and it's so portable. You could bring it anywhere.
Well, don't worry. Yeah. No one's recording this, so he'll never hear it.
No, he won't hear it, right?
Right. And actually, the graphics on the can, the dry red blend, I think especially jump out with the Zugaby logo and name. It just, you know, the packaging looks great too.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it's one of the things. I mean, it takes a while. Like, it takes a while to develop something, but I really love how they turned out. They're not like those. I don't know. I don't want to say cheap, but like when you buy beer cans, you know, they're labels that are like sticker labels that are on there. This is, you know, a shrink sleeve on the can. Really nice. Just really nice packaging.
And a lot of your other reds, most of them are varietals, but Pinot Noir, Cab Franc, Lemberger, Merlot, Cab Sauv. But what's Four Freds Red? That's one of your blends.
Well, that one's our flagship. That one's our best selling of our dry reds. It's a blend of Cab Franc, Cab Sauvignon, and Merlot, which would make it a Bordeaux-style blend that we add Lemberger. So four different grape varieties to it. Pretty equal components of each, and each, you know, given its own characteristics. The Cab Sauvignon gives it the structure, the tannins, and, you know, the Lemberger, the Cab Franc give it a little peppery. The Merlot gives it, like, some nice juice roundness to it. And in my family, there's four generations of Freds. My grandfather was Fred, my dad was Fred, and my brother, who's the winemaker, is Fred, and his son is Fred. So we have four different Freds in the family, four different grape varieties in the wine. And it's just a lovely, you know, all day, every day kind of red.
And again, the wines, you can have them shipped. You can do curbside service. And Zugaby is you're so close to the downtown of Geneva. It's very close. And one of the museums I've been meaning to go to that's right near you and close to Ventosa is Drain Tile Museum.
Yeah.
It's, of course, it's not open now, but you may drive by and see that sign, and it's. I've never made it there. I've got to see what's in a drain tile museum other than drain tiles, which are used in agriculture, and maybe you have some in your vineyards, right?
That's right. Yeah. In fact, I haven't been able to make it into the Drain Tile Museum either, and I'd be definitely interested because I pass it every day. But yeah, like when we first started planting, it was, you know, in 2005, but like we had to do some site preparation before that, and we had to like really chisel deep into the soil to like break things up, to remove rocks, and to apply this drain tile within, you know, the underground network of the vineyard plots to draw water out, to draw moisture out, because the vines don't want to sit in water. They don't want their feet wet. They need to dig down really super deep. So these drain tiles just draw all this excessive moisture out, and they're about 8 feet in the ground. So it ends up pulling, you know, all this, you know, extra moisture out of the ground. And when we were chiseling, we found all these old, they used to use clay, and like we broke apart all these different networks of clay drain tileage that they already had in this in some of these plots and everything. So it was interesting to see, you know, that they used to use these clay, like I can't even imagine laying that stuff down, but they used to use like a clay product to draw that moisture out, and we use, you know, it's a kind of a PVC kind of thing, so it's, you know, much different, more advanced, easier to use, you know,
a lot lighter
application nowadays.
It's a lot lighter to work with too.
Right. But, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But going through all that back in 2004, 2005, you kind of think your father was nuts. Like what are we doing? This is not much fun. This is, we are so far away from making wine. We're just digging trenches in a field.
Yeah, well, he was a pretty brilliant guy. Like he always researched the heck out of things and really knew what he was getting into before he did it. He was a planner. When he wanted to learn about something, he just was a sponge and figured it out. So for him to, you know, decide, you know, my older brother Fred, who was already getting into wine and and that side of things, and you know, who had convinced my other brother to get into viticulture. You know, he's already shown a green thumb. You know, for my dad to get into it and to really start researching it, I don't think any of us had any doubts that he was right. in the beginning it was a slow process, but you know, we had to learn how to drive tractors, and we had a lot of things to learn and to catch up on before, you know, production really started and that kind of thing. But he had a lot of desire. He had a lot of, you know, insight into it before he started planning it. So I don't think any of us really questioned it too much.
Were there vineyards in there before, or was this land other types of agriculture? Do you know?
It was other agriculture. The guy who, the estate who we purchased the property from ultimately was, he was a professor at Cornell named Keith Kimball. And his big study was on field grafting of grapevines. So his research was, you know, lopping off the tops of the vines, putting a different species of vine on top of that, grafting it together, and then letting it grow. Instead of, you know, a lot of times if, you know, we determined that a Chardonnay plot, you know, wasn't going to work out for us, we wanted to change it to something else, you could dig out all those vines and plant some new ones in, or you can just lop off the top, graft a new one on, and then you already have that new system already developed. So he did a lot of research with that, and he didn't have, like, any kind of extensive vineyards on the property, but he had like a test planting, it seemed like, behind his house. And, you know, maybe it was about 2 acres worth of vines, but it was all overgrown. It was wires all over the place. You know, he could have had some cool hybrid, you know, different creations that he was working on, you know, but nobody would ever know. But, you know, we had to tear it down, burn it up, clear it out.
Yeah, well... again, Zugby Vineyards, the northeast corner of Seneca Lake, and the FLX collaboration case, 12 dry rosés from 12 different wineries, available. We can order it now. It's available starting, I think, on Wednesday pickup, delivery, and shipment. And again, it's kind of like the Tierce collaboration, which is three wineries. This 12 winery collaboration is. Got to be one of the only examples of it in the country, maybe in the world. I mean, this doesn't normally happen, does it?
No, it doesn't normally happen. We have special permission from the state to be able to do it this year. Hopefully we can convince them to, you know, let us do it every year and to do some with reds or dry whites and different things like that. It'd be fun.
Absolutely. Brendan, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing Sarah and Ashley on their next presentations.
Thank you so much, Michael. I really appreciate it. And let me know when you get it, and let me know when you try some of those wines.
I will. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care.
Yep. Bye-bye. That's Brendan Zugby, ZugbyVineyards.com, and northeast corner of Seneca Lake. We'll take a quick break. Be back to talk to Ted Marks from Atwater Winery, Atwater Vineyards, here on WYSL 1040.
Say hey, Mr. Bartender, please don't be so slow. I've got time for one more round and a six-pack of gold. Tomorrow morning, Sunday, yes, I'm gonna be feeling low. So please, please, bartender, I want a six-pack to go. I've been drinking all day long, taking in the town. I gotta spend...
Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here, the sponsors of The Grapevine. I'm an independent broadcaster. I buy time from the station, which is independent, which is very unusual in media these days, and our sponsors are independent businesses, local businesses, which right now are, of course, they're struggling with the shutdown. And businesses like Casa Larga, Monroe County's hometown winery, curbside service is available. They make some delicious ice wines. If you haven't tasted ice wine, it is fabulous. And you can consume little tiny bits of it over a long period. It'll hold up in your refrigerator for months, high in sugar. Instead of dessert, it's just a great treat to have a little bit of ice wine, maybe with cheese or just on a hot day, a little sip. You don't drink a glass of it, but just almost a thimbleful is enough with ice wine. And they do a sparkling wine, delicious dry reds, white wines, including some unusual ones like Muscat Otonel. So go online, check it out at casalarga.com, and they can ship you wine. Maybe have some shipped to some friends or family. Maybe someone as a thank you. You can send 3 bottles or 6 bottles or a case. It's casalarga.com. Also brought to you by Bricolo Tree and Lawn Care. Their nursery is open, and they just ask you wear a mask. It protects them, and the masks that they're wearing protect you. But they can deliver mulch. They can deliver plants for you. And it's a beautiful nursery on 441, just east of Turkhill Road and Route 250. They can design and install a vegetable garden for you. Perhaps you feel it's kind of daunting to figure out where you're going to put it, where you're going to get a good soil for your vegetable garden. Have Bricolo Tree and Lawn Care design it and install it for you. It's BricoloTreeAndLawn.com. And finally, Fox Run Vineyards and Anthony Road Wine Company are on the west side of Seneca Lake, very close to each other, a couple miles apart, and two great winemakers named Peter. Peter Beecraft at Anthony Road, Peter Bell at Fox Run. And I mentioned earlier the Tierce Wine, a collaboration of 3 wineries that also includes Red Newt, Fox Run, and Anthony Road. That's a Riesling they've been doing for over a decade. It was served at President Obama's second inaugural luncheon. Scored 90 points multiple times. It is delicious Riesling, available through all 3 wineries. AnthonyRoadWine.com, FoxRunVineyards.com, both offering curbside service and shipping. Try some of their port-style wines. Try their skin-fermented wines, which Anthony Road is doing. Lots of great options. One other winery you should place an order with for dry reds in particular, Chateau Lafayette Renault, clrwine.com. They are right next to Atwater Vineyards. And Chateau Lafayette Renault has been around for many years making dry reds, winning gold medals in California for them. And they can ship you maybe a mixed case of dry reds and some of their white wines. They won the Governor's Cup for semi-dry Riesling a few years ago. And clrwine.com. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on The Grapevine. Welcome back. Mike Warren Thomas here. It is The Grapevine on WISL 1040, 92.1 FM. And I was just mentioning Atwater Vineyards, east side of Seneca Lake. And we have Ted Marks with us, owner and founder of Atwater Vineyards. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Michael Warren. How are you?
I'm doing all right. The sunshine was nice yesterday, but, these rain showers today will help the buds break here in the vineyard soon, and we'll be off and running on a new growing season. What's kind of the history of Atwater Vineyards? Give us a little background on that.
Well, I started Atwater Vineyards in 1999. It was I bought an existing vineyard that used to be a winery, used to be Rolling Vineyards Winery, by Ed and Joanna. Oh, for cripe's sakes, can't remember the last name. And bought it from them. They had closed the winery 10 years prior to that, but Ed was a fantastic grower and had we have 80 acres of vineyards, about 55 to 60 are active vineyards right now, and had a great, fun, wonderful winery since 99.
And again, you're on the east side of Seneca Lake, which is kind of known as the Banana Belt, right?
Yeah, the Wine Spectator called us the Banana Belt of the East. The temperature, temperance from the lake is quite fantastic. We're usually a few degrees warmer in the summer. We're usually a few degrees definitely warmer in the winter. So with 600 feet of water out in front of the winery, why it kind of helps us avoid the catastrophes of the frost, we hope, and have so far been able to.
It's kind of on the margin. It's often just a couple degrees are the difference between 20, 40%, 60% loss of grapes and maybe 10%. Right, it doesn't need to be 20 degrees warmer. It's just kind of on the margin.
No. It can be just 1 or 2 degrees, and because the lake effect really does is it keeps a wind going, and some of the Atwater vineyards go east west, others go north south. The ones that go east west really take advantage of the temperature variations from the lake, and in the evenings it keeps the wind blowing because the lake is cooler in the summer and the hot air, warmer in the winter, and the hot air rises and it keeps the wind going, and that really protects the grapes. It's the little pockets that capture the frost and can really cause the damage.
And I'm guessing the main reason you bought the winery and started Atwater was because the sunsets are so beautiful, right? You wanted the sunset.
Well, I like to say the reason I bought Atwater is that I can sit in my office and look at the good side of the lake, meaning the other side of the lake. My home is on the west side, and there's always a wonderful competition between the east and the west. So that's why I bought the winery, so I could look at the good side.
Excellent. Well, your website has an awesome sunset photo. People go to atwatervineyards.com, an unforgettable Finger Lakes wine experience, and that the sunset says it all there. It's beautiful.
Well, I like to say better than just the view. We have a live webcam that is operating at all times, and you can go to that on our website and see the view across the lake. See the sunsets, see the sunrise in the morning. Several TV stations use our website as go to it to see what's happening on Seneca Lake, and we get letters all the time from people that say it's how much fun it is to look at the website.
You've had that up for quite a while too, right, that webcam?
Yeah, the webcam's been up for, I'd say at least 10 years now.
Yeah.
And the amount of traffic it gets is fun and very busy. It was a great idea that I had once.
That's right. Well, it's a stunning view this morning. Rain clouds and things. People could have seen the snow flurries last week.
When it's snowing, it's kind of really neat to go to it because we have a light there and the flakes flash by and the camera, and it's pretty interesting, really.
One of the things I love about, I love storms in general, kind of, and this is a great way to view a storm because the webcam, it can't hit you, but you're able to see so far across the lake that there's some, when you hear thunderstorms predicted, you should go to the Atwater webcam, and you can just see them coming over the lake. You can see the rain coming. You can see the lightning. You can see the clouds. It's because you can see so far away. These weather fronts are really kind of fascinating to see. That's why the TV stations like your webcam.
There's nothing more enjoyable than watching a thunderstorm coming down the lake. It really is exciting, and it's at watervineyards.com is our website address.
But one of the other things that you were prescient and still have, I think, the satellite photo of the Finger Lakes available for sale is something that you probably was 20 years ago, right, that you got a hold of this?
I think the first one was about 25 years ago. I did the very first edition of it, and then I came out with a second edition of the satellite. It's from NASA. The second edition has the roads on it because it was pretty hard to identify as to where you were. People kept asking us. The sales have been quite fantastic over the over those years. We've sold over 50,000 of those posters. But with the Internet and everything else, the sales have kind of slowed down a little bit, I will admit.
Well, I just gave one to a friend of mine who travels around the region a lot and just love the idea of that size, that scale. It's fairly large, you know, poster kind of thing that you can get framed.
It's 25 inches big, so it's quite big.
Yeah.
So you've had quite a winery morning today. I've been listening to you since this morning, so.
Yeah.
What am I, the fourth winery on? That's pretty cool.
Exactly. I guess I could do 5-minute interviews with 40 wineries, but it's more fun to delve into things more deeply. And Atwater Vineyards, we'll talk about the wines, but you've been involved in helping to bring Edible Finger Lakes back as a publication. It had been a hiatus for a few years, and we interviewed Michael Welsh yesterday, the publisher, and the... you have an issue of Edible Finger Lakes that's ready to go, but you're looking for subscriptions and
yeah, we were just about to send it off to the printer when the shutdowns started. I would be honest to say that probably 70% of our ads are from wineries and restaurants and breweries and farms, and that whole world just shut right down. So we were able to stop the publication of it, and not about to ask a winery and a restaurant who's closed to pay us for an ad that nobody could come to their place anyways. So we're sitting there with this edition all ready to go and everything else, and when the world reopens, the wineries are reopening, and the restaurants especially. The damage to these small restaurants is phenomenal. I'm very, very concerned for the health of most of them.
Sure.
And so we want to bring Edible back as soon as possible, and we're quite frankly doing a... I'm scared to call it a fund me campaign, but I'm also honest to call it a fund me campaign, and hoping that people will subscribe to Edible. 1-year subscription is what, 36? You save $9 by doing a 2-year subscription. And if we can get 3,000 additional subscribers, thanks to your help yesterday, we picked up about 50 new subscribers in one day.
Excellent.
But if we can get a base of 3,000 subscriptions, we can produce for the rest of the year, every 2 months, like we usually do, and bring business back to the restaurants and wineries and craft beverages, all the breweries. Boy, they've got to be suffering. This is a incredibly serious thing has happened to our industry and the Finger Lakes and the B&Bs and the hotels. It's empty. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Very concerned.
And
about our future up here right now. I think we're going to lose a lot of good friends and businesses. And we need to support locally. And your radio show is probably one of the most important things going. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted. the thing we talked about with Michael Welsh yesterday also was that the all the businesses and freelancers and people who do photographs, who write for Edible Finger Lakes, it's, again, that domino effect of other businesses. So if you can publish, then you can pay them, and that helps the economy to support those small businesses. It's not just a subscription to a magazine. It's the people that work for the magazine.
Well, that's exactly right. It's amazing the side effects that everything has. I mean, let's face it: the winery is closed, the cork distributors, the bottle people. The effects on all the businesses. Think of all the people who work in the restaurants and all the kids who were this summer expected to work in restaurants, and you know they're not open. The effect is phenomenal. I'm not being negative about it in that sense. It's not depressing me at the moment. I know that we will get back and be strong, but we need help. And one of the reasons why Edible is running this campaign is not only will it get our writers and our photographers, our advertisers back in the business, but we're donating 10% of the sales to the regional food banks, of which there are three of them that serve the Finger Lakes. And so if you're supporting us, you're also supporting everybody else, and you're getting a magazine delivered to you for 1 or 2 years.
And at $36 for the year, it was formerly a free magazine. I think Edible Communities, which has, there are magazines around North America, Canada, as well as the United States, some of them are on a subscription model, and Edible Finger Lakes has not been. So this is really, you're changing the business model to subscription-based. And the photography in Edible Finger Lakes is phenomenal. I mean, and the articles, it's a high-quality publication, which is, I think, probably why you got involved with it, right? You just, it's an important publication to have for the region.
Well, I sincerely have believed in Edible since, you know, what, 98, I think we started. When Michael left and stopped publication, it bothered me terribly, and he came back, and I went in with him as co-owner of Edible to help it succeed and come back. There are about 80 different Edibles around the country. They're not a franchise. It's called a license. So we're allowed to use the Edible name. Actually, to be honest with you, we are the only Edible that is under subscription basis. But because of this virus that's attacked the world, a lot of Edibles are going to go on a subscription basis. We have no choice. It's the only way we're going to survive. And basically, that's it. It's an exciting magazine when it comes out. We have wonderful comments, and I'm very proud to be a part of it.
And it's a magazine that you can send as a gift to someone, a subscription to, you know, someone who knows you live in the Finger Lakes or Rochester, the cities of the Finger Lakes, and maybe they never visited you here. They don't really know the region. Send them a subscription, and they'll get to know the region over the year.
Well, the other big subscription base is people who have left the area. Or, shall we say, our children who have moved away. I have four children. Between my wife and I, we have seven daughters, and most of them don't live here. So it's fun to be able to send them a subscription to the Edible Finger Lakes, and chances are they may come back because they like what they see.
Yeah, well, it's a gorgeous publication. EdibleFingerLakes.com. You can get more details. And Atwater Vineyards is you're shipping wine, right? Curbside service. People can order Atwater wines and have them sent right to their door?
Well, it quite honestly, it's the internet orders right now, number one, that have helped save us during this crisis. Our business has been decent, and our internet orders have increased dramatically. We also have curbside pickup, and we're, as the other wineries are doing, we're doing a virtual tastings. We're doing one on the 7th with Cab Francs with our wine club members, and we're sending out our wine club shipments are being shipped, I believe it's next week, and we'll do some virtual tastings on those with a Pinot Noir, a Rosé, and a Dry Riesling are the three basic wines that we send out. And it's been really heartwarming, the business we're getting from the internet and our friends and our wine club members.
Yeah, they're votes of support, right, each order?
Oh, what's nice about the wine club is that we were kind of feared that people would cancel their orders, and they actually have done just the opposite, and they're increasing their orders, so that's nice. And our power just went out down here. That's pretty interesting. The phones are still working, but the electricity, so I guess the power just came back on. Very interesting.
I'm glad your phone's still working.
Yeah, the internet stopped, I understand.
Too. Yeah, I was just about to check your webcam.
I'm over on the good side of the lake right now, so the winery's over on the other side, so they probably still have electricity over there.
All right. One last thing, Ted. Ted Marks is with us from Atwater Vineyards. Dessert wines, I think, in the Finger Lakes are totally underappreciated, unknown in some cases, and you do a Celsius. You got two different ones on available.
Right, we have a Celsius, and our other ice wine is called Fahrenheit. We are so far been unable the last three years to make them by Mother Nature. So a lot, and as most wineries in the Finger Lakes are being forced to do, is we freeze the grapes and make ice wine from them. I don't think there's that much difference in the taste. I'm not a perfectionist of wine tasting, I'll be honest. Thank God I have two winemakers, Vinny Halliperty and George Nelsis, and they say there's very little difference between the ice wines.
We also do a late harvest vignoles, and some really great dessert wines available in the Finger Lakes, beautiful bottles. I love the way Celsius is kind of stenciled on your bottle.
My daughter Katie designed that label. It's
great packaging. And it makes a nice gift. You know, maybe a neighbor does something for you. You can just leave them a bottle of wine. So, stock up on a selection, and there's $10 flat rate shipping from Atwater.
So right, we're doing the $10 flat rate shipping like everybody else is right now. Some wineries are doing it differently, that's what we have to do right now. And it actually is it's not bad, really, because you reduce the cost of shipping for the customer because you don't have the staff running the winery inside. But right. Luckily, we were able to get the loan from the federal government. And we've been able to rehire everybody back. And they're working in the vineyards. They're working everywhere else, even though the winery is not legally open for open tastings.
Tastings, right. All right. Well,
Ted,
thank you. Thank you for helping to bring Edible Finger Lakes back to our region. I think it's important to have, and I hope people consider a subscription for a year or two, and give a few subscriptions to family and friends, good luck as we get through this. Really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, Michael Warren. My best to you, friend.
All right. Have a good day.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. That's Ted Marks, owner, founder of Atwater Vineyards, east side of Seneca Lake, and gorgeous, gorgeous sunset. Again, check out their website to see that photo, atwatervineyards.com. Also, by the way, Eagle Crest Vineyards, just above Hemlock Lake, on Saturdays is doing their Saturdays, D-A-Z-E, with some special bargains, cases. And again, wineries like Eagle Crest they're hustling. You know, they're not getting the visitors that they would normally get as spring arrives here. And so take advantage of a lot of these great bargains. And if you want more details on anything you heard me talk about today, email me, michael@saverlife.com. And you can go to eaglecrestvineyards.com to find out more about their Saturday curbside pickup or free shipping. Have a great day. We'll be back next Saturday with Gardening and Restaurants and Discover the Finger Lakes here on WYSL 1040.